Yeah!
And what's good, everybody? It's Touchdowns with Tangents, post-Super Bowl fallout show, whatever you want to call it, live from the Good News radio station. I'm P.D. Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Frank James Barry.
And as usual, in the next hour and a half or so, you can expect a little bit of NFL talk because, well, it's the offseason. A lot of pettiness.
It's where we do our best work. It's honestly in the offseason.
And, well, of course, some cultural context sprinkled.
Some cultural commentary for some culturally concise commentary. The brilliance of the realness.
As he stumbles over his words.
Nope.
As he stumbles over the marketing phrases he's created.
First off, alliteration.
But yeah, man.
It's alliteration, and sometimes I have trouble with my C's.
But yeah, man, shout out to the network affiliates. Shout out to the Good News radio station. Shout out to X Squad affiliates. Shout out to FPC Radio. Shout out to your favorite podcast app where hopefully you're listening to this and hopefully you're going to go and give us a rating.
Listen to all our stuff. Listen to our mini shows on Anchor, too, by the way. More drops to come, and because Spotify just bought Anchor, you should really check us out on Spotify.
I'm not going that far, but go ahead.
There's like five other audio sites you can check us out on. So pretty much just type in Touchdowns and Tangents, and you'll be surprised how much stuff comes up.
Because my SEO skills are on point. But yeah, shout out to me.
Anyway, shout out to us overall. Because we all know I'm like the heart and soul and spine of this show.
I guess.
You're the marketing muscle. So if we ever atrophy, it'll be because like...
No.
There's no marketing.
I'm the...
No, you're PRP. We already established this.
Nah. I'm the...
You're the marketing guru.
Nah, I wouldn't even go that far.
You're the industry tie guy. I'm the voice of the streets.
No, I'm the businessman.
So am I. I'm about my business too.
No
what do you think this is?
No comment.
What do you think this is? I never got it. You ever see me have get a bad deal, a raw deal? Don't happen. Don't look at me like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you don't want me
don't
to
look
answer
at me
that.
Like
shut
that.
Up.
You don't want me to answer that either.
You
hey, you know what?
That.
By the way, this is
that,
the
bro.
1 year anniversary episode of us being on the Good News Radio. We have been on the Good News Radio for a year now. 52 episodes.
Oh, because
no episodes missed. Perfect attendance. Especially me.
Okay,
shout out to me.
I'm giving you your claps for that, but let me hold up.
I want three sets of claps.
And
honestly.
Actually, you did miss a show, first of all. So.
Never missed a show.
But actually, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Me
in
Oakland
didn't
count.
Yeah, yeah,
I called in.
Nah,
ergo, I didn't miss.
Still weren't here.
I was,
anyways,
my
let
grandma,
me back up. Let me back up. First of all, you took my clout. You took my reporting. I went back and looked and saw that it was our anniversary. Not you, but no, go ahead. Make the announcement, Living Your Shine, because technically.
Are you done?
Technically.
Is you done? Is you
technically,
finished?
No, this is where I'm going to get you.
Stop
and,
throwing up
and prove to the world,
proving your point.
And prove to the world about why, one,
you don't know
you're
what
a
you're
clout
gonna
chaser.
Say next.
Two, I'm a real reporter, because look, yes, this is technically
you can't
the
report
anniversary
because of
show of
job.
Being on the Good News radio station. Yes, but technically... We actually did a pre-record the week before. So if you really want to get into the shits, last week was the anniversary show. So, yeah, that's all I got to say.
Well, just like any as my partner, I usually forget the actual day.
Oh, here we go. Now he's a reasonable partner. Shut your ass up.
Shut your ass up before your girlfriend call in.
Well, that was appropriate chopper sound.
It was. It really was.
Anyways, man, so in case, I don't know, in case you blacked out before 3 p.m. on Sunday, in case you have work, in case, you know, you took the time when everyone else was watching the game to go to the mall, get your shopping done, whatever you did, in case you didn't know, the Super Bowl happened this week. And yeah, guess what?
Technically last week.
Whatever. Sunday. Point is, it was the worst rated Super Bowl ever.
Yay, shout out to everybody who didn't watch. I was at work.
And the sad thing was, it was two major markets between Boston and LA, and it was still an absolute snore fest. It was more monotone than this podcast.
More monotone than Pete's voice. I am not monotone in the slightest.
Yeah, you
this is what happens when Pete is on the boards.
You should really seek
corny and really whitewashed.
You should really seek some feedback from people outside.
Proper speaking voice. That is not my fault.
Actually,
you sound monotone.
Actually, you don't.
Only on this podcast. It's
actually,
weird. In real life, you don't sound monotone.
Actually, you don't, because we've already been on over like this how your mic technique needs work, and it's gotten a lot better over the past like 20 episodes. I'll give you that.
Like I'm
like it definitely has. Like you definitely have worked.
You just purposely
that.
Turned up your mic so you could talk over me.
No, because my levels were actually lower than you. So,
damn.
Yeah, there's
during
that.
Black History Month, you just gotta have levels higher than me. You couldn't just let
no.
Me you can just
actually,
let me
typically my levels are lower than you because I actually talk into the mic more consistently than you when you're leaning back, being fat, and lazy, taking a breath, and having indigestion.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there.
Says the guy who can't digest food.
All right,
you're
man.
One kidney shot away from just being on, like, really.
Hey, shout out to Jackie, wishing us happy anniversary. And shout out to Keith, man. That game definitely was a baseball game. And actually, this past World Series and the games leading up to it were probably a little bit more
exciting. I'd rather
exciting.
Go watch Angels highlights.
Like, there were some high-scoring baseball games this past postseason, which probably were more than this, what, 20-point Super Bowl, 17-point Super Bowl?
It was a 20-point Super Bowl, 13-3.
And we had one of the top offenses.
It's like the defense for the Rams couldn't have played any better.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. But yeah, man, if any of you Rams fans want to call in and cry, we'll do a touchdowns and therapy segment. So feel free to call in.
And I'm the
323-900-0478.
And I'm the therapy part. Pete will probably just be mocking you. By the way, shout out to Mikhail. Your team still didn't make the Super Bowl.
And shout out to the Saints. As O'Shea Jackson said on Twitter afterwards, you still didn't get there.
Oh, and like other people also said, you shouldn't have thrown a pick in the overtime because Drew Brees threw an interception in overtime. It happens. But Drew Brees, Tom Brady, that would have been a much better Super Bowl. The Saints
for
would
sure,
put up much
100%.
More points.
So let's get into the weeds, man. What'd you think of the Super Bowl? What will you remember from the Super Bowl?
That Demi Lovato's punk ass got canceled up out of here. Let's talk about it, Demi. So, and 21 Savage is a British citizen. I did not know that. That was probably the most shocking thing. I was at work.
Yeah, the Redcoats.
I was at work. No, don't get twisted. There's some cats in England who will stab you like 100 times and leave you dead in an alleyway. Like, they got Comptons over there, too. We just don't know what they're called. But, you know, as a great man once said, the world is a ghetto. But anyway, when you break down that whole situation with 21 Savage, the fact that Ice waited till right now all of a sudden to pinch him, and then Demi Lovato says the best thing about the Super Bowl is all the memes about 21 Savage, and Black Twitter reminded her that she's actually a junkie and technically a criminal. Because with all the drugs she had on her, she should have actually, like, been in prison and facing serious jail time. Unlike, you know, Ty Dolla $ign, who a bunch of people was on the tour bus, him, Skrillex, and a bunch of other people, but he got popped and they said he had a bunch of cocaine on him. Apparently he didn't. And he's facing 10 years in prison. But that's what happens when you're white. You just escape all crime and accountability for anything you do. That's why we look at Demi Lovato like, oh, what a tragic figure. Even though no one made her do all that hair.
I've never heard anybody say Demi Lovato's a tragic figure.
You weren't on Twitter when like she relapsed and then her dealer went on TMZ. People were still like, no, we still got to feel bad for Demi Lovato, but her dealer was on TV snitching.
Yeah.
Let it have been a black person. Let it have been Chris Brown. Everybody went like, yay, I hope he dies. A lot,
yeah.
Not everybody, but a lot of people on Twitter. Like, pretty much, here's a rule for you non-black people who don't understand. We can make fun of our own. You can't. Because if you've ever been in school, a school where there's black people, and one person got roasted, and then you laughed a little bit too hard and said something, all it takes is one real one out the bunch to be like, I know your ass ain't over here laughing. And then we just get on your shark fin soup looking head ass boy. Oh, parents look like the
I'm
mutated
only laughing
people on
because I've literally been there before.
Yeah, I know it was you. And someone like me was probably the one roasting you, too.
Nah, definitely not. But, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The point is.
That can happen right now.
What I wanted to bring up, I don't know why you're having this conversation you always have, but whatever. I'll let you talk to yourself. What I did want to say is everyone's talking about 21 Savage, but it's like this is happening to everybody. This is a crisis right now.
No, but that's my thing.
Even Vince Staples said it, man. Yeah. We're clowning people about being immigrants now.
Yeah, like you clearly never grew up around Mexicans. But my thing is, I haven't heard the Latino community come out and say anything on behalf of 21 Savage.
Because they don't need to.
Oh, they don't need to, but they sure were hassling black people for not saying anything with immigration and kids being thrown in jails and all types of shit, and black people on the front lines of that. But now that a black dude... people,
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I'm just saying that black brown coalition.
I think low key
is really one sided.
I think low key. I'm gonna share some of those stay off Twitter articles because like low key, you might need to get off Twitter for a little bit. Because
I think that
might be the root of your issue right now because you're just seeing like a lot of the same groupthink and you're thinking that these conversations aren't happening.
I'm not saying.
Because
okay, bro, I haven't heard come out and make a statement on his behalf. I haven't had anybody from the Latino community come out and say, we just heard Michelle Rodriguez say, Liam Neeson can't be racist because he had his tongue all down Viola Davis's throat. Really, bro? You going to talk to me about that?
Black people are always championing
everyone else and don't nobody come to our aid.
That's a historical fact.
That's a historical fact. But I'm just saying, this 21 Savage shit, I saw a lot of stuff that was happening. And aside from the jokes, but some of those memes were hilarious. And he would admit, even in lockup, that shit was funny. People were not understanding the point of like, yo, he has a family. This is like, it's trash what ICE is doing. That's my issue. And when black people get in issues and trouble and shit like this, no other group comes out and says, oh, yeah, we're totally behind you. Like one or two people say something. And then we just forced to deal with it on our own. And that historically always happens. I could point it out in a bunch of different cases, but I'm not going to do that right now because it's Black History Month and we deserve some kind of a break after Offset and Chris. By the way, Chris Brown said Offset looked like oh my goodness, why am I forgetting what he's
but yeah man, the whole point I was gonna say is, man, the whole thing, like, before you made it into an overgeneralizing statement about
that's not overgeneralization
about
please tell me what the Latino community does,
the state of Latino and black relations,
because
what you just did,
as a group, Latinos have not been there for black people the way
we've been there
for them.
Anyways.
That's a fact.
Like I'm saying, man, I'm not trying to make this into a, why?
I'm not arguing to be like a contrarian.
You really are because you're not even listening to me, bro.
I am listening to you, but
like I'm saying,
I'm still waiting for a fact.
Like I'm saying, bro.
That's what I said.
Like I said, I don't think you can use this as an instance of like, oh, the state of black and Latino relations. It's a social media thing. It was a sad, tragic thing that turned into a viral social media thing. I think the overall point is, like Vince Staples said, man, free everyone out the gym. Period. That's it. That's all I was trying to say. And you turn it into, oh, brown versus black relations.
Yeah, but that's a black dude who said that. That's a black dude who said that.
Yeah.
We always say it. We say free everybody.
Yeah.
We say free Meek, even though honestly it's like, eh, Meek. But I'm going to cool off. Drake still got smoke.
You might want to cool off.
But I'm going to recalibrate things.
Oh, shit, bro. You had like four episodes titled after Meek.
Chris Brown
said, your ass up.
Chris Brown said Offset looked like Pootie Tang, and I died. Because Offset. They put a side-by-side of Pootie Tang and Offset, and I died. And, yeah, Louis C.K. directed and wrote Pootie Tang, by the way. So, yeah. All
right, man. So, can we get back to the game?
Pretty much everything outside of the Super Bowl was important this week, except the trash-ass Super Bowl.
Yeah, and honestly, when I look back at the Super Bowl...
You remember the piss break you took?
No, really I'm going to remember the piss break that Jared Goff took down his damn leg. That's what I'm going to remember.
Both his legs and out his eyes?
Because look, and I tweeted this when it happened. The Los Angeles Rams had the ball with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, down by seven versus New England.
That Gilmore pick ended the game.
That's literally the situation you want. That's what you play for. You play for that opportunity to be in the fourth quarter, halfway through, have the ball, and only be down to score.
Robert Woods was open a lot, by the way.
And they blew that. They blew that.
No, Jeff Goff blew that in the offensive line.
Jared Goff.
Jared. I'm not going to call him his real name. Honestly, you know what? Pete, I don't say this often. By the way, check the thread because somebody probably went off. You're right. He's not a franchise quarterback. You can't be a franchise quarterback and play like that.
Wait, not to set us back here, but actually, Jackie said immigration has been a serious issue. There are still kids who are in cages who have been separated from their parents. I'm sorry if I don't feel bad for a rich rapper who will hire some good lawyers to get back to the U.S.
But
who's going to help all these other families?
And most of them are all Latino and black people on the front lines arguing and championing that. I agree with
and
you.
And then Ryan agrees with you. This is a microcosm of the lack of coalition.
Bingo, because to have a coalition, you actually have to be able to punish people in the coalition. And black people can't punish Latino people for shit.
And
there's accountability issue at play.
And Jackie goes, right, I did not appreciate that comment, KB. How are you going to turn this into brown versus black thing?
I'm not okay. First off,
this is how we started this show.
Before we even came on air, we were like, we don't know about today's episode. Yeah, we were like, this might be a shitty episode, but yeah. No. But in all seriousness, I'm gonna be honest. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. When Trayvon Martin was murdered, and everybody found out Zimmerman was Latino, Latinos weren't coming out and admonishing him, demanding, oh yeah, he needs to be thrown out of the jail. They weren't. And that was the thing. And by the way, black immigrants are here too, in case you didn't know, Jackie. They get deported too, but no one's coming to their aid. It's like, let's be honest, the face of immigration is Latinos. For two different reasons.
Let's hear this.
The first one is because the racist assholes, mainly white people in power, have focused on making Latino immigrants the bad guys, but letting over like black and Asians.
Because by 2024, Latinos are going to be the majority.
You're getting ahead of my point, and I'm yeah, great. But I'm saying we don't talk about the European immigrants who come over all the time and overstay their visa. Let's talk about it. Elon Musk is an immigrant, and somehow he got away with saying he was African, even though there's no such thing as a white African, but whatever.
And Jackie is saying, we're not claiming Zimmerman.
Okay, but here's the thing. People weren't claiming Zimmerman, but nobody was coming out saying, yeah, he totally needs to be locked up. Something's happening. Like, that wasn't happening. Black people were on our own.
When you say nobody was saying that, like, what does that mean?
Okay, because as a group.
You can't really.
As a group.
What does that mean to as you? What does that mean to you as a group?
Okay, how about this?
Like, what do you mean as a group? Because I don't even know, like, who would you want to come out and speak? You want A-Rod to come and give you a statement?
No.
You want J-Lo?
Not even being facetious.
I just don't know.
Did you hear any Latino lawmakers or politicians or groups?
I don't know.
Coming out and speaking?
I don't know.
No, your answer saying I don't know means it didn't happen.
That doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It's just that I'm not aware of it. Okay. I didn't mind Twitter.
I'm not admonishing you, but I'm just saying the average Latino, if I ask them that, they would say the same thing. I don't know. But I can point to you all the black people who are on the front lines. In Ferguson, we were talking about immigration and how bad Latinos are being treated. All the time, anywhere black people are, we champions every other group's rights, but it's not reciprocated. And it's a lie if you say it is. Because we can talk about L.A. and how about all the Mexican street gangs who were kicking black people out of neighborhoods. By the way, that was a recent L.A. Times article last year that you can go look at. I'm not saying I don't like.
I don't know what you are saying, to be honest, okay, because I don't know what you
as
what
a
you expect.
Group. Fine. I'm going to make this clear and simple. As a group, racially, black people are on their own. We have been for a long time. People do not come champion our causes. That's what I'm saying the whole time. So what I'm asking you is
so what do you want to not feel alone? Like, what do you want?
I mean, at least stand with us.
When like,
we're
what does that
standing
mean to you?
With every other
what does
group.
That mean to you?
Okay, first off, fine. I'm giving you another example.
Stop giving me examples of where they fall short.
Because you're clearly not getting what I'm saying. I'm speaking plain English.
But what I'm saying is stop giving me examples of where they fall short and suggest a solution. That's what I'm asking you.
When you see black people being treated like shit, actually stand up on our behalf. Like, you know, okay, with the dollars, economics where it counts, politically where it counts, because black people get hit with that benign neglect policy all the time. Politicians only come to us when they want the vote. They'll do the Dougie and all types of dumb shit and dance to Cardi B and think
it's all
cool.
Okay, you're all over the place.
No, that's not all. That's what you're literally politicians place. Do.
That's not
Bill
what
Clinton
plays
the saxophone
for black people.
That's not what we're
talking about, though, bro. Like, that's not what we're talking about.
I just
we're not
gave you a long list of different things that, like, people do to appease black people, to placate black people. But then when we actually need someone to stand by us,
but what
it
I'm saying
happen.
Is, what do you need? You need people to.
Are you serious,
to,
dog?
That's what I'm saying. You're saying, okay, show up with your money. What does that mean?
Are you really? You don't understand that?
No, I don't.
Okay,
explain it to me.
That's why I'm about to give you an example. Peter Liang, Asian dude, killed a guy, Gurley. Asian community across the country backed him, put money behind him, put pressure on politicians to say, yo, you gonna get him out of jail. They got him out of jail. Even though he killed an innocent black kid. The Asian community, as an entire group across this country, was like, yo.
And Jackie's saying, KB, were you at the protest? How can you say there were not Latinos at the protest?
I'm not talking about
many
on an individual
Latino
basis.
Who
I'm talking
were
about
at
as a
these
group.
Protests. That's what I'm saying.
I'm
is
about,
you keep saying as a group,
okay,
but what does that mean, bro? Like,
okay, you know what?
I don't know what that
I'm
means.
I'm going to give you an example of a group. The Black Congressional Caucus. The Black Congressional Caucus. La Raza. Different groups like that represent a common interest for people. They're not coming out speaking out on black issues. When the same thing happens to black people.
I think that's a whole other different issue than
all types of black groups.
It's like
Black Lives Matter.
It's like the organization that you keep mentioning.
For everyone's.
But it's like the organization you keep representing. Like, that doesn't represent me as a group. I don't align with La Raza. I wouldn't want them speaking on my behalf. So it's like.
Are they speaking on immigration and helping
people? But that's what I'm saying is like.
Okay, bro.
I don't know what you mean by group.
I'm not making
this group
an individual thing.
Like
I'm saying as a group historically. I'm pretty sure if Ryan's in there, she understands what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, but that's what I'm saying. So, what do you expect? Like there are so many different cultures that go into Latino, and it's like you want us to all band together.
I bet you
like,
if I go to every
like,
Latino
like,
country,
what
I can
want?
Show you where dark-skinned Latinos and dark. Latinos who have African blood in them, Afro-Latinos, get treated like shit. That's everywhere. Brazil. I can go to Brazil, and how do the darker-skinned Afro-Latinos get treated compared to the lighter
I think you're missing
ones?
The point, bro.
No,
that's
I'm not missing
not
the point.
I'm
you're
saying.
Missing my point.
I'm not saying that. I never said that doesn't bro. Happen. I'm not saying, like, what I'm saying is,
oh my God. Like, I'm
what is your
Chinese
solution?
Here.
Like, what is your solution?
I'm saying it would be nice if that support that black people who are
what
dying
I'm, and what
on
I'm
the
telling
front
you,
lines for everybody
and what
else's
I'm telling
rights,
you,
if it can be reciprocated,
and what I'm telling
by
you,
other groups,
and what I'm telling you is Latinos aren't a group. We're only a group to like other outside people, but within we don't have a group.
I know Latinos aren't a
okay,
monolithic.
So it's like
black people are monolithic.
So it's like, what do you want?
But
like,
I'm
what
saying,
do you want us to do?
You don't hear from any groups speaking out on black people's behalfs. You don't.
But
then NAACP don't even be speaking on behalf of black people sometimes. And those are just facts. I'm not saying it to like drive a wedge
Ryan
in the room.
Ryan said
but
it
I'm
means
stating
people like America Furrier and other prominent people speaking out on behalf of other oppressed groups.
And actually putting money behind your words, like communities put money together to support people. Economics. You don't see that. Black people just
but
always
still,
out here
like,
on the front lines.
Even that's not
fighting
not,
for
not
everybody's
a,
rights, fighting for other groups' rights.
But even
and
that's
it's
not
reciprocated
a group,
historically.
Though. But even that's not a group. Like having a policymaker or a legislator, like that's not a group. That's a person. That's an individual. That's doing what you're saying.
They have political
that's,
power.
But that's doing what you're saying where
lobbyist
it's like coming
groups,
around
like
where it's like coming around for the vote. And that's what you're saying you don't want either. So it's like
bro, I'm just stating the obvious that when it comes to black people being out here fighting for our rights, we either get
and
shunned,
KB, what I'm saying is I'm not disagreeing with you, but what in fact
I'm giving you solutions.
In fact, what I'm saying is I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm
that.
Saying is, so if you want me to do something unprecedented, then show me what that looks like. But you're not really showing me
I've
what that
told
looks
you,
like.
Economics,
you're just,
politics.
You're just going more into the issues and the.
No,
and the,
I'm
and
telling
the,
you,
the,
like, economics is the solution. Like, you put money behind stuff you care about. Yes or no? The police unions put money behind officers who kill innocent people every day. And guess what? They get off. Because they are, whatever happens, they put their money and their political efforts and everything they have behind the people that they believe in, the people, their constituents. That's what I'm saying. As black people, who are our constituents? Who goes to bat for us as a group? Other groups outside of black people, historically. Please tell me.
That's not what we're talking about, bro.
No, that's what I was talking about.
I mean, you keep circling on that point, and I'm like, yeah, okay,
because
I agree.
No one's disproving it, I give you the answer, yo, economics is the solution.
Okay, so, and that's what I'm saying. What does that look
Which
like?
Which kind of curtails into my point about the whole Kaepernick Super Bowl thing. But pretty much, like, you put money behind things you care about, and if you can't even speak up on behalf of black people and stop saying that people of color, because that's, hell, white people can say they're people of color. Like, be specific in who you're talking about and the support that you want to give, then okay. Then I'll say, okay, you're speaking up for black people. It's 21 Savage, whether people believe, oh, he was lying about his trap life, whatever, the dude is still being deported. He's a solid citizen. He was turning his life around. He was making businesses. His story, if you take out the fact that he's a famous rapper, he's still
Hey, shout out to Wu. He said, I came in at the wrong time.
this is like the conversation you have when the game is really shitty and people start talking about politics or whatever. But no, honestly.
Yeah, you're that guy.
Nah, I'm not. I'm really not. Nah, I'm not.
Yeah, so Jackie
I wasn't
said,
the guy at the Super Bowl party
Jackie
we went
said,
2 years ago.
I will admit, we all can definitely be stronger if we unite. But if we keep the mentality of us versus them, or I'm going to help you because you don't help me, this will not fix anything.
But
with our platforms, we can change this, KB. We don't need to wait for celebrities to save us. It can start with us and talking to our communities.
I agree. That's a great speech. But again, what I'm speaking to is just the overall history of it. Not like what individuals
like us
are doing.
We got that. We heard you the seven times.
So stop talking about individuals. Like, individuals don't have that much power as individuals. We can touch other individuals, but I'm talking about as a group. Black people are in the front of the line.
But that's what I'm saying, bro.
Everyone else's rights. And it's like, I'm tired of always seeing that, and it's not reciprocated.
Latinos are not a group to any other people but non-Latinos.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty sure about it.
Okay, aside from the fact that there are a lot of Latinos that voted for Trump,
I mean,
most Latinos didn't.
Besides that, it's like
so that's a one off. That I'm obviously.
I mean, there was black people that voted for Trump too.
That's what I'm saying. Not everyone's a monolith, but there are groups that represent interest for everybody, even if you don't agree with the other side. Like, they're Republicans and Democrats.
All right, but get back to your point about Kaepernick and
the
Super Bowl.
That pretty much bled into the fact that, okay, let's take Cardi B. She performed for the Patriots pep rally, right? Robert Kraft's lame-ass mayonnaise macaroni salad making with the raisins and croutons on the side, heated croutons, I don't know why, with Thousand Island dressing on his shit, his no-dancing self, his two left hips. And two right knees, trying to dance to whatever Cardi B was singing. And she said she was going to boycott the Super Bowl halftime show and not perform on behalf of Kaepernick, but you still caught a bag from performing for the Patriots at their pep rally. You didn't do that for free. I'm pretty sure she didn't do that pep rally thing for free. She got paid to show up. So I'm just like, all these entertainers saying, oh, I'm with Cap, but you're still trying to get bags from the NFL. Like, just don't say you're with Cap, because Cap ain't making no money from the NFL right now. If you really would have been about that life, would have been like, look, Robert Kraft, you and your star quarterback Tom Brady both voted for Trump and you're friends with him. And I disagree with everything he stands for and blah, 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 whatever. I'm not going to be at your pep rally. Sorry. I'll go kick it with the Rams. Whatever. But don't be trying to collect the bag behind the scenes, but then say you with the people and you're really not. Because that's what we've seen in the civil rights era and any movement you could name. Any movement you can name, there's always that one person who says one thing on the camera in front of everybody and is collecting money from both sides in the back. And I don't like that. That's trash to me.
Hey, but shout out to my boy Omar for he's one of the biggest Travis Scott fans I know.
And he was on stage for 1 second.
And even he said he was like,
I didn't even know he was there.
Even he said he lost respect for Travis off of that performance. He basically came in, did his one big song, Sicko Mode, which none of his fans really like, and especially without Drake, and did his signature stage dive, but cornied it up and danced with Maroon 5. And it was just a lot.
Which was really gross. I saw the highlights and I was like, why did Adam Levine rip his shirt off? No one wants to see that old white dad body.
But honestly, man, I know I'm in the minority here, but Maroon 5 actually was not that bad. Like, honestly, they were actually pretty good. Especially when they came out to the first, like, two of their old songs.
Yeah.
That was pretty.
Songs About Jane was a great album. We all agree.
That was slapping.
And anyone who says Songs About Jane is a bad album, I'll fight you on the street, male or female. I don't care. Like, you're not going to slander Maroon 5. They're not Imagine Dragons, but that performance was Imagine. That performance was Imagine Dragons. Like, I'm just saying. It was. At least it wasn't as bad as Ashley Simpson in the roles in the Orange Bowl all those years ago.
But yeah, man, I didn't even get to finish my Rams take from earlier. So pretty much what I was saying is Jared Goff pissed down his leg. He had a chance with the ball, 7 minutes left, to drive down the vision you have since you're a kid, like in fourth grade playing quarterback in the backyard, driving down to win the Super Bowl versus arguably the greatest team, the greatest dynasty, the greatest quarterback, the greatest coach. And what did he do? He threw a pick, deflated the whole team, and that was pretty much it.
He played like he did at Cal with Sonny Dykes when they lost to USC.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that same thing when it happened. But what I wanted to say, man, and we've kind of been seeing this angle now that the dust has settled a little bit.
The dust from that dry-ass L.A. Rams offense? People were like, that's the Bakersfield Rams.
Everyone,
that's the Ventura County Rams. I was like, yo, chill.
Everyone was talking about Todd Gurley, how he only got, like, what, 11 or 12 touches, and basically the Rams.
Some Marshawn Lynch
I think Colin Cowherd said it. They're like 9-0 when he gets over 18 touches, and that pretty much the Rams should be held accountable for either A, not giving him the ball, or B, lying about his health when saying he was healthy when he wasn't healthy.
They're saying he isn't going to get surgery.
Which is basically like Cowherd's point, and I don't agree with him a lot.
Either you're wrong because you're stupid or you're wrong because you lied.
And his whole thing was, if the Patriots did this, we would not stop talking about it. And the fact that the Rams kind of ducked that whole media outrage is like really agenda setting and media bias. Frankly.
The Lakers beat the Celtics 129-128.
You're late.
I know. I just wanted to say it. But to certain people on courtside who are Celtics fans, suck it.
All right. Well, you going to finish your football point or
I feel better
just look
now.
At your phone?
I feel better now. Yeah, I agree with you, man. Jared Goff, like, I was really hoping he'd be a franchise QB. And now I'm
he
just
definitely
mad,
has the tools.
Bro, have you seen his arm?
Man, I was
like, he's not a strong kid physically.
I was trolling all my Rams fans this week, but basically, and I honestly believe this. You know, everyone's kind of like, oh, the Rams still have more years. They got Goff. They got Gurley. Honestly,
nah, they might not ever be back.
They might not ever get back. And even if they
is a free agent.
And even if they do get back, there's no guarantee you're going to be within a score in the fourth quarter, 7 minutes left in your season, the game of your life. Like,
and
period.
The defense playing
you
pretty
might
much
not
lights
never
out.
Get that. Ever again.
Like, Edelman had 10 catches, like 141 yards. Well, yeah.
But then
they were giving him that.
But then you factor in, okay, you already said Sue. He's a free agent. Saffold's a free agent. Those are two crucial veteran starters.
Tlaib is older.
You got Littleton and
Joyner might be gone.
Who are probably going to cash out.
Nah, Littleton will probably come back, but
Fowler might cash out. You got Ethan Westbrook, who's even been a reliable guy over the few years, who might cash out somewhere else.
And you can't stay in a 3-4
Brockers
defense.
Might get cut. because he's owed $10 million. It's non-guaranteed.
You can't.
Whitworth is 39. Who knows if he's going to keep playing?
And Havenstein is okay.
Havenstein's a free agent, but
Sullivan's old.
Sullivan's old. But the kicker is, you got to get Goff and you got to get Peters an extension because they're free agents next year.
And who do you pick?
So who do you pick? One and
I'm picking
two.
Peters.
And two, if you re-sign both of those, Goff is going to get $20 million cap hit, easy, if not more. Peters is probably going to get another $12 million cap hit,
15.
So
he'll front load his contract.
Ultimately, the Rams really have one more year, like of a serious window until they have to pay Goff, and then things get more complicated.
Unless they somehow find some money to sign D Ford.
And then they're going to find themselves.
Clowney.
They're going to find themselves in a situation where they're going to have to decide between
a Gurley, great defense or a good offense.
Gurley and Goff, like that's really what it's going to come
who
down to.
Keep? Yeah.
And we're going to be sitting here talking about how the Rams are actually going to trade Todd Gurley at 29 years old. Like every
other.
No,
they're
going
to get rid of Cooks, and then they're going to try to draft a receiver. And Cooper Kupp is not a number one receiver.
Which, by the way, the other angle I wanted to go on, man, a lot of people were talking about Brandon Cooks and those couple drops that he had in
if
the end zone that could have won it.
He would have caught 2 touchdowns.
And that's what I wanted to say.
God didn't bless him with height.
That's what I wanted to say. Because
get off his head.
Get off his head. Expecting him to make those throws was a losing solution.
He's 5'9", 5'10", bro.
It was a losing solution. Like, you shouldn't – the fact that he was even able to put himself in a situation to where it was a 50-50 ball and he could make a play on it is really an indictment on how good he is, more so than, oh, he didn't complete the catch, so he's sorry.
And Goff threw it to him late. There's one where he was, like, in the middle, like, 5 yards away from the end zone, screaming with his hands in the air.
Not to mention
and
what the Patriots
Goff threw it late.
Not to mention the Patriots starting corner was not the starting corner last year, which means he was probably on the scout team going against Brandon Cooks for like literally 20 weeks.
McCourty,
so I'm sure he knows what's good.
McCourty twins, Devin, I think is the free safety, has good range and you know he's still a good player. He made a hell of a play on the ball, but it's like Goff did his
and
receivers
were the Rams
no favors.
Where were the Rams tight ends?
Nowhere as usual.
And
McVay and Goff
and
lost
McVay
the Super Bowl.
McVay was supposed to be a tight end. He was a tight end coach by trade. That's what he did.
Guess what? Zach
he
Taylor
put on Jordan did. Reed. He put on Vernon Davis.
He resurrected
his career. Yeah, that's what I meant.
I'm gonna say. But by the way, Jordan Reed ain't looking too good these days. Hasn't been in like 4 years. But
like
that's
two.
Nah. He had a couple injuries and then he was kind of good. But either way, you look at.
Miami tight ends must not be wearing their chin straps.
Jordan Reed went to Florida.
Oh, my bad.
He was a quarterback.
I was thinking of the other Miami tight end with all the
Herndon?
No, the Miami tight end with all the concussions.
Which one?
You brought him up like a month ago.
Kellen Winslow?
No, the other one. The
was
one
he a former Raider?
He was on the Browns. Clive. He was on the Dolphins.
Oh. I didn't go to
Jordan
Miami.
Cameron?
Oh, Jordan Cameron, yeah. He
Cameron
went to
Jordan.
USC, Cameron Jordan.
I thought he
no,
went
it was
to
Jordan Cameron, because Cameron Jordan was the defensive end for the Saints. Now, he was at BYU, and then he transferred to USC. He's playing basketball at BYU.
I'm just full of GFEs today. Typical.
Kind of like the Rams offense. Like, it was gross to watch that. I was like, run the ball. They're not the number one rush defense in the NFL. That's what I'm saying. Like... He got out-coached, but most importantly, he got intellectually embarrassed.
Honestly, though,
it's the Marshawn Lynch rule. Like, you don't want to give your best running back, the guy who can actually do things for you, you don't give him the ball in the Super Bowl because you want to coach it to victory. Sometimes good coaching is saying, let me give it to the guy who can take it to the house.
I don't disagree with you as far as that, but honestly.
Marshawn got screwed.
Honestly, the difference here is Marshawn showed me something in that game.
He was unstoppable that entire game.
Gurley did not.
That's because they didn't.
Gurley
didn't even
did not.
Try to get him involved. I would have put him at receiver.
They did early. They gave him 3 consecutive drives of no Mike Anderson, C.J. Anderson, no nothing. It was all him in the backfield.
Going on Mike Anderson.
And he was honestly, yeah, I really do.
I'm gonna fight you.
And he was honestly on the field a lot of the game, but he was just in pass pro and Goff. I said this. You can check the archives. I said this after the Chiefs Monday Night Football game. Goff is a good quarterback. When he has his first read open.
Bingo.
Beyond that first read, it's an issue. and even getting working through the progression to where he could get to golf and get the dump off pass was difficult.
I just called something. Jackie, she said, I didn't mind Adam Levine's shirtless performance. Adam Levine pretty much looked and had better stage presence and pocket presence and footwork than Jared Goff did all game.
Yeah. I'm not even going to debate that. But, yeah, I think it's unfair to say they didn't give the ball to Gurley enough.
They didn't
enough.
Give Gurley the ball. They didn't even try to incorporate their tight ends.
He
so
really,
pretty much
and
he was predictable
Wu just said
the whole
it.
Game.
Wu just said it. He looked like he had no confidence, and I agree. When Gurley had the ball, or he might be talking about Goff, but I don't think Gurley had it either because
that line
when he did have
good.
The ball, he was not – he wasn't doing anything.
The line wasn't blocking good at all. They weren't handling stunts properly. From the highlights I saw,
they got out schemed.
No, they just the D line just played with better technique. They just played with better technique than the offensive line did.
Honestly, though,
they had more gap integrity. For all you people who don't understand how offensive linemen work, we say things like gap integrity. And
okay, I'm not gonna let you.
It's a teaching
stun
lesson.
Stun on B-ball here. What I was gonna say though is
they don't know what gap integrity means. I'm trying to help them out.
I think the Rams
parties. It's really cool to say.
I think the Rams defensive line also got beat. Like honestly, because the Patriots did enough on key plays to beat them. Like, and it was visible. You could see Aaron Donald getting too far upfield. You could see them getting washed. You could see them getting beat. They played the Rams. They went to the textbook. You run misdirection versus an aggressive defensive line. Like, that's football 101. The Patriots did that. And shout out to Wu again because
wait, is Skype still up?
Yeah, it is. And shout out to Wu. All
right, call in. Anybody want to call in?
And shout out to Wu because he said it. Bill Belichick just proved once again defense wins championships.
Yeah, we said Gurley. But, I mean, I'd have no confidence, too, if I know I'm not really in the game plan.
I'd have no confidence, too, if I didn't listen to you every time we talked.
Don't blame me for your
experience. Yeah, listen. You're not even listening. That's
I listened to
what
you.
I'm talking about.
I just expounded off what you said.
All right, man. Final thoughts on the Super Bowl before we move on.
A lot of people expose themselves as fake, these entertainers who swore they were supporting Cap, but collecting bags from the NFL afterwards. And Tom Brady's not going anywhere. Patriots aren't going anywhere.
Tom Brady didn't play that good either, frankly.
He didn't throw a touchdown pass, but guess
he,
what?
He should honestly retire.
No, he did enough for them to win. Gronk is probably going
to
retire.
No, I'm not saying he can't do enough to win.
And Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer. Like, get white fanboy
hey,
Twitter.
Hey, what was
out of
Hall
him.
Of Fame, though, was that NFL 100 commercial?
Beard?
That
Damn.
Shit was lit.
That was lit.
That was awesome.
LT.
That was like the best commercial I ever had.
Odell with the one hand catching
yeah.
the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brian Urlacher.
Except for that fucking Franco Harris bullshit they had to throw in there. I was
just
hot.
Just when I thought we weren't going to cuss.
Yeah, well, that's $3 in the invisible swear jar for me.
Seven for you.
But, yeah, I don't feel bad. Fuck Franco Harris.
I agree.
And if you're a Steelers fan, fuck you, too. And
wow.
If you're a Mike Tomlin fan, fuck you, too.
So that's 5 F-bombs, and you just pissed off a lot of Steelers fans.
Yeah, I did. I got a whole terrible towel squad coming through. But, yeah, man, before we move out to the combine, Wu shot a question. What are your top three teams next year?
Can't believe I'm going to say this. The Texans.
Yeah, they got to get their receivers behind.
They got to get an offensive line. If they get an offensive line, that offense
Hopkins.
Will flourish.
They gotta do some work on the skill positions outside of Hopkins.
They have Hopkins, Demaryius Thomas,
and they've been trying to get him
Achilles,
help.
And then they have
Fuller was hurt
Kiki
too.
Kiki Kute. He actually played really good against the Colts. But yeah, I think they need another receiver and a left tackle and a right tackle. And the second person, I'm gonna say the Packers.
Ugh.
I think they're going to do a lot of great things in this draft. They got really good positioning. And then the Saints.
Yeah, definitely the Saints are in there for me. You know what? I think depending on – I think the Bears are going to be right there too.
Just they're going to get a new kicker?
And because they can make some more skill positions to help Trubisky out.
What if they let – like, what if they ended up signing D Ford and just trading or cutting Leonard Floyd?
And lastly, if the Rams can retain their talent and some of those key veterans, I think the Rams will probably still be there.
I don't know, man. They got – you don't get beat like that and, like, have
– Well, a lot of people are saying that this might be what they need. Like, Wade Phillips said it. He was like, last year we were, you know, we were coming up. This year we were at the door, and next year we're busting through the door, waving the fofo.
From a guy
who, I don't think he said that, but he might have.
From a guy
who he might have said that.
Does Wade Phillips have a Super Bowl ring?
I think he does.
Oh, yeah. Denver?
Yeah, he does. He definitely has one with Denver.
Never mind. Forget what I was going to say.
I know you weren't going to disrespect that man, Wade Phillips, right here on
the
show.
I was like, he's good. The defense was fine. I just don't trust that offense.
But, yeah, man, that NFL commercial was lit, and so was the Dos Equis one, or the Stella commercial with the Dos Equis, man. That shit was awesome. I'm all for ad spokespeople switching up. Get the bag where you can. And now I guess we go into the combine. You good?
I was just going to say something, but, yeah, my mouth is like – my tooth is killing me. But, anyway, Kyler Murray got his combine invite.
Yeah, man. One of our boys in the FPC chat, Ray, shout out to Ray, pretty much said the A's are going to bribe the medical staff at the combine to have Kyler Murray measured at 5'6". So he'll go and play baseball and not quarterback.
5'7".
Yeah.
You don't want to be too small for baseball. You can be too small for baseball sometimes. But I wouldn't be shout out to Obi. He was really pissed that, like, Jake Browning got a combine invite, and he played like crap in the NFLPA game, but Amir Hall got snubbed yet again.
Wait, who did?
Amir Hall out of Boise State.
No, who got – who?
Obi was pissed about it.
Who played like crap in the NFLPA game?
Jake Browning.
Mm. And he got an invite to the Senior Bowl? Oh, to the combine, you're saying. Oh, yeah. Because everyone is still hyped about his one good season 3 years ago.
And they lost to USC that year, I think. You got John Ross and Dante Pettis.
Two NFL receivers.
Yep.
Other snubs you got?
Nebraska running back. A skilled player receiver out of Virginia. African dude. I can't even try to say his name. But he had like 87 catches this year.
But, yeah, no surprise here. The teams with
North Carolina receiver, Penny Hall.
No surprise here. The teams with the most players at the combine, of course, the best teams. You got Alabama with 11. You got Clemson with 11. You got Ohio State with 10. You got Georgia with 9. You got Ole Miss with 9. And you got Washington with 9. So, basically
Florida
what that means.
Florida had 7.
Basically what that means is the NFL Combine is essentially the biggest draft workout, draft interview, job interview, whatever you want to call it. Some would even say there's some slave vibes there.
Yeah, you coined that phrase a couple years ago.
Anyways, point is,
the Underwear Olympics.
Underwear Olympics, also known. So, of course, not all these players are going to get drafted, but they're essentially given a accelerated platform where they can be drafted and where they can showcase some of their athleticism and skills. And it's really no surprise that these schools, again, are leading the pack. Any other thoughts on that? How many players USC got? I don't even know.
USC got 5 guys. They got Amon Marshall, Porter Gustin, who was hurt. They got Marvell Tell. I think it's Adric Ware. And Chumi Goda, who played really good at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, so Combine, I think, is what, early March?
it's like, say, March 24th or something like that.
So stay posted for that. All right. Lastly, anything else you want to say on the combine before I switch it up?
I just want to see who's going to shock. I think someone's going to shock and run like in the high 4.2s or low 4.2s.
You say that every year.
No, but like somebody's like really going to do it and it's not going to do anything for their draft stock.
Why? Thanks to John Ross?
And J.J. Nelson.
All right. Next topic, the topic we have to address, the topic we have to talk about. My Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, your team.
And your ex.
My ex is doing bad.
way to kill everyone who's listening in the headphones ears right now.
Well,
just because you a petty scumbag.
I have a broken tooth in my mouth, so calm down.
No comment. So, yeah, pretty much nobody wants the Oakland Raiders. They were supposed to go to San Francisco to play in Giants Park, and pretty much the mayor said, as far as I'm concerned, the Oakland Raiders should play in Oakland. And then the San Francisco 49ers, who actually play south of San Francisco in Santa Clara, used their right of refusal, essentially putting a blockade on the Oakland Raiders from playing in San Francisco. Blockade was a perfect verb for, since, you know, it is the Bay and the Raiders are pirates.
Think of
I just explained my own lame joke.
Yeah, you did. If I was on the boards, I'd boo you right now. But I'm not.
I'll boo myself.
Thank you.
Yeah, so pretty much the Raiders, in case you don't know, are moving to Las Vegas next year. And
but they're homeless right now. Can they sleep on your couch?
The reason why they're homeless is because the city of Oakland has a 9-figure lawsuit against them, basically saying they acted
and in the NFL too
in bad faith. Pretty much came, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Al Davis forced the Oakland to build him an extension on the Coliseum. The city still hasn't paid it. And as most places in California, they have refused to publicly fund a stadium because, well, California has a shit ton of taxes already and a bunch of other shit they need to pay for, which we have policies for, but, you know, whether or not those shit get executed is a whole entirely different issue. But the point is, we weren't going to put up a bag for a stadium, and that's why L.A. and the Rams got their stadium, because Kroenke was like, I don't need your bag. I got 6 of my own. And so he built the stadium for them. The Chargers needed a home in a similar situation as the Raiders.
And they
were like,
Hills.
Let's clout chase the Rams. And so that's kind of what happened. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, somehow Mark Davis finessed Vegas to giving him $3 billion. But yeah. The only niche in this whole deal of Davis going to Vegas as a fallout from the Carson Stadium in L.A. was basically this one year. Like, where would the Raiders play once the lease with Oakland expired and they had a gap year between when the new stadium was done? Would they go to Vegas? Would they go to Reno? Would they go to San Antonio, San Diego? And season ticket holders are already being informed that they don't even know where the Raiders are going to play. So it's a shit show. It's a mess. It's going to impact free agency. How are you going to get a free agent if you don't even know where you're playing? How are you going to show them a facility if you don't even know where that facility is going to be? And shit gets deeper because the NFL is like, why are we going to go through all these issues of having you relocate and the logistics of you setting up a new operation if it's only going to be for 1 year and you're going to have to do it again? So, obviously, the logical sense would be to either go to Santa Clara, where there's already set up for the 49ers, which Mark Davis doesn't want to pay them. L.A. can't afford a third team, even though the Raiders probably make more sense than the two that are here. Because, yeah, we're the only team to win a Super Bowl as an L.A. team. But, yeah, we only got to talk about that.
Last team to do it.
And we won a Super Bowl as Oakland in L.A. But, yeah.
Oh, and also what people don't realize is stadiums –
Marcus Allen only played in L.A. He was only an LA Raider. He likes people to know that.
Stadiums.
He never played in Oakland. He's literally said that multiple times.
He played fullback for the Raiders. And they had Eric Dickerson and somebody else. I think Bo Jackson and somebody else. But yeah, with those stadiums, they don't really make a surplus for cities.
They don't, because they cost a lot of money. Security and parking and street services and all that sort of stuff. So if anything, best case scenario, the stadiums usually break even. Like, if you break even, you're good. Like, that's
kind of like the Packers, where they own.
Like, Indianapolis is still paying off the RCA Dome, which has been destroyed for like 6 years. Like, it literally doesn't exist, and they're still paying it off.
And, you know,
a lot like some people's parents in the recession, but
ouch.
That's none of my business.
Damn, there's so many different places you can go there. That's just hurtful. Damn, that's dark even for me.
But yeah, I think the point is, with the whole stadium situation, man, the Raiders really got to figure it out, because they're already dysfunctional enough, and they don't need this extra cloud hanging over them. They can't go to Vegas, because Vegas cannot handle them right now. They don't have the traffic figured out. They don't have the infrastructure to really support 100,000 people event 10 times a year or 8 times a year, whatever.
They could always do what I proposed a couple weeks ago. Find all the high schools that won state titles in football and play at their schools.
Yeah, but even that's only like 10,000 people. Football stadiums are like 100,000.
Doesn't matter. It would be how much money it would make for those high schools?
Either way.
That goes a long way. That's a huge tax write-off. That's a sacrifice.
Yeah, but
no one can say the Raiders didn't care about Oakland on the way out.
Yeah, nobody's trying to. How about instead of doing that, maybe you just give all of them tickets and just play at the Coliseum? Like, you could give them all tickets for free.
But they're not even going to re-up at the Coliseum.
You could get more people in the stadium to support them. But yeah, outside of that, the Raiders need to get their shit together. And Donald Penn, the Raiders offensive tackle. You good?
No, I'm in a severe amount of pain. This aspirin is doing nothing for me.
But yeah, Donald Penn pretty much
said. You've never had a nerve issue, have you?
He explained the whole shitty season that was 2018 and pretty much said the Khalil Mack trade really impacted the team. No shit, Sherlock. And
you're switching to right tackle.
Now they're all in on John Gruden. So
they don't have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing else to say about that. Like, literally nothing else to say. I'm trying to find the crickets, but I don't know where they are.
Honestly, this is appropriate for what the Raiders had. There's just nothing in disappointment.
All right, speaking of disappointment, man, so back to Pittsburgh. You want to start with Le'Veon or you want to start with Antonio Brown?
Start with Antonio.
Yeah, so pretty much Antonio Brown allegedly pushed a woman to the ground in a domestic
dispute. His baby's mother.
Yeah, no charges were pressed, but the Steelers are investigating it. So,
like through the FBI, I guess, which is interesting. But
well, the NFL, I'm sorry, not the Steelers.
I'm about to say.
So you got any take on it?
Pretty much, he comes out and says like, or Antonio came out and said essentially that his baby's mom lied, and she's seeking full custody because she's pretty much tired of mom using the kid as a prop and trying to jack up payments on him. And we see this all the time with fathers and child support issues and things like that. So none of this shocks me, and I don't understand why more rich athletes who have issues with their baby moms, like, why don't you just seek full custody?
Yeah, so pretty much the situation was, so this woman, his baby moms, showed up with the baby and pretty much to leave him and also to get some cash. And
so extortion.
Pretty
allegedly,
much.
Allegedly.
Well, she said the money was for the daughter's hair appointment. Antonio Brown pretty much called bullshit on it and was like, get off my property. You're not even supposed to be here. Peace out. And they kind of went back and forth, and it resulted in her falling on the floor and scraping her wrist. So that's what the situation is. I don't
custody of your kids.
I don't think it's a big deal, but only because
it's a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal only because of all the issues that are happening. I only think it's a big deal because of all the stuff that's happening with Antonio Brown right now, as far as like him essentially going against everyone who ever wore a Steelers jersey.
They turned their back on him first.
Beyond that,
Hines Ward need to be quiet too.
Beyond that, I think it hurts his trade value because it's just like it's one more thing to add on to it. And even though it's not really a thing, it will be a thing. And because of that, they're going to offer one less second round pick, which is going to make Pittsburgh not want to pull the trigger on the deal. And Antonio Brown's probably going to end up being there because the Steelers are too damn cheap to just cut their losses. And we're going to have to watch a whole nother dramatic series of the Steelers. Bro, stop popping aspirin over here. You're in pain. Just suck it up. First not going to help.
Don't sit up here and make me sound like I'm a pill popper, okay?
I'm just saying. You're over
She's
here.
Tiny ass aspirin.
You're over here looking like this shit. Skittles. Like, bro.
Painkillers usually
you're supposed
work
to take that
me.
With food anyways. You're not even supposed to take that.
Water is food.
Okay, skinny kind. White girl. You are damn well not eating water as a food. We all know that.
We had Wendy's before I got here. That counts for something, right?
Alright, moving on to the next
it
Steelers.
Doesn't,
you,
I'm gonna like black
it's
out.
So exciting. More Steeler bullshit. But yeah. Now, Pittsburgh is saying they're going to franchise Le'Veon Bell again and then try to trade him.
Please boo them. That's illegal, by the way. It's what the Eagles are trying to do to Nick Foles, is franchise him so they can trade him. That's a violation of the CBA. Can't do that. It's illegal because you have no intent of actually dealing me long term.
That's like...
Don't show up, Le'Veon. Don't show up at all.
That's like finally getting out of an abusive relationship and being like, oh, I'm about to have my J-Lo at the end of enough moment. And then it's like, nah, honey. Veto. And you're just stuck for a whole another year. And you're getting paid, so you can't like really be that upset. But at the same time, you still feel like shit about yourself because... all the relief and vindication you were expecting is really just put into a bag of money.
That's slightly off from his place, but I like the Jennifer Lopez analogy. I don't like the fact that Jennifer Lopez is going to be performing at the Grammys doing a Motown
yeah,
tribute.
Nobody wants that. Even Latinos don't even want that.
Because if a black person did it, a Gloria Estefan tribute or Selena tribute, it would be a fucking World War III outside.
I mean, we have more.
Lie and say that wouldn't be.
We have more singers than that, but okay, I get your point.
But I just picked the main two that they.
I know. No, those are
y'all protect
y'all
legends. Y'all protect
y'all.
Those
aren't even the main two.
You tell, so Latinos don't protect Selena? Don't tell me you don't. Because y'all should.
All right.
I cut a bitch behind Selena, honestly. I'm still mad at her manager.
I'm not even going to get in there.
Her fan club person. But anyway, yeah.
There's a lot of people that say Selena was a culture vulture. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Wait, what? Hold on. This is news to me. Are we going to have this conversation off air?
Yeah, man.
You just called Selena, you just called a dead icon a potential culture vulture.
I mean, Tupac was definitely a culture vulture.
Tupac was a
We've
fake,
agreed
was
on
a
that.
Fake gangster.
We've agreed on that.
He was a fake gangster.
He's literally the GOAT.
A fake gangster.
Like the
But okay. He got shot.
Okay, here's the Mount Rushmore.
By the way, I hate
cases.
Jesse Smollett
here's a
for
tangent.
Saying he's the gay Tupac. That shit was trash.
Here's a tangent. Okay, here's my Mount Rushmore of cloud chasers. Tupac, Drake, Rick Ross. I don't know who the fourth one is.
Really? You don't know who the fourth one is?
Do you agree with those three?
Are you gonna make me say
Are you
it?
On board with those three?
I might get shot for this.
Who?
The Game.
Why is the Game a culture? Nah, the Game's not a culture vulture.
Bro.
He just
if he wasn't being a
He's just petty
he
and a bully.
Okay, yeah, but
he's
if he wasn't being a bully to people, like, bro, what's the last Game album you listened to? Let's talk about it.
What was the one after the... I can't even remember the one after the documentary.
Was it
what's
part
it
two?
No, not part two.
It was Red
two.
Something, but it was good.
No, I'm talking about the one with the Dream. No. Wouldn't Get Far. I'm sorry. The one with Wouldn't Get Far. And,
fam. Yeah, that was in his prime still. Damn. You're the wrong person to ask.
No, yeah. That's the last album I listened to.
What?
I was on 50 side.
What? I was too, but what?
Yeah, that's literally like his second
album.
Damn,
bro. I wish you would have said that to me. Like, that's just... Damn, he's not that irrelevant. As Joe Budden said, he's ice cold out here, though. No one cares or is talking about the game. Be a vegan and get buff and claim you a blood, and you magically somehow haven't been arrested by the cops for doing that yet. Which I have a theory on a lot of these cats who gangbang and rap and just openly talk about it, that they probably cooperated with the police at one point. But whatever. You can't be gangbanging that hard. Or Vince Staples is different. They just know he's young and he don't care. But, like, come on, man. I got an issue with that.
Oh, God. Touchdowns and Tangents. Caller, give us your name and location.
It's your favorite girl from Lady Night. It's Jackie. What's up, guys?
What's good, Jackie?
I feel like I'm about to get my ass chewed out right now.
Well, no, you are. But first of all, I need you to explain your Selena comment. You can't just make a statement
rambling.
Like that.
Thank
about
you.
Selena, who's like not even here anymore, and then not explain yourself.
Thank you. I was wondering that too.
I've just heard that the different types of music that she was making, like, was not, she wasn't the only one doing it. She just got mainstream of it. And also she kind of became a martyr because she died so tragically and young.
Everybody said the same thing about Aaliyah. Because she died so young.
Exactly, yeah.
Left eye. We don't know what they're capable of because they were gone too soon. But when they left, like, they were at their highest. They were at their peak. But you can't say that about Selena. That is just, I don't agree with
that. I'm not saying that. I literally said some people would say she was a culture.
You were contrarian
voter.
To my point. I was like, I cut a bitch behind Selena.
Yeah. Yeah.
I respect it.
That means you have some belief of it.
Hold up. Keith just called Biggie a culture vulture.
Biggie only had two albums. Like, can we be honest about you?
Yeah,
first
man,
off, Biggie got hemmed up because he was talking shit in Oakland E-40. But that's a whole nother story. Y'all don't see now. I'm gonna see.
All right, what's your next point, Jackie?
LA rappers. There, I said
get
it.
Get on Kenny now.
Oh, okay. You
want
me?
At first, we gonna put a pin in this Selena conversation. You ain't getting away.
Yeah, we'll make a pin on it. For sure, definitely.
I mean, are we not also going to talk about how she was performed by Puerto Rican? And that's like
J-Lo's a culture vulture.
And that's like a beloved, and that's like a beloved movie that like carried on Selena's
Puerto Ricans
legacy
are black,
to
by
like
the
next generation.
Okay, but we can't be for that. I understand what you're saying, but we can't be mad at J-Lo for that. J-Lo just showed up to the job interview and she got it. Be mad at the people that hired her if you don't agree with it.
Thank you.
But we can't hate on J-Lo. Like, I don't hate on J-Lo.
She played a Mexican and was excellent in that movie.
Shout out to my boy Wu.
It should have been a Latina Mexican there.
Shout out to my boy Wu. He just backed me up. He said, Selena didn't even speak Spanish but made Spanish music.
Oh!
And I like Selena.
A million. So we should be, if anything, we should be impressed by that.
I guess.
Because there's so many Latinos that get put down because they're Pocha or Pocho or whatever. And, you know, they're second, third generation here. But does that make them any less Mexican because they don't know Spanish?
If Selena was alive right now, would she have a track with Drake? That's the real question.
She would.
Would she have a Drake collaboration?
She would have a Drake collab.
If she was alive right now.
Does Drake and Ariana Grande have a record together? I feel like they should because they're both industry plants.
All right, get back on KB.
KB, you're not getting away with this. Look,
that's cool. It's Black History Month. I came prepared.
I understand everybody in the media is making a big deal about 21 Savage. And yes, it's unfortunate that he is going through that. But there are so many people, as you know, yes, Latinos are the face of immigration. But you're right. The Latinos are not the only ones going through immigration. There are so many other people that experience that. But as soon as a rapper gets, you know, sent back to the UK, the black community went crazy, but you guys weren't going crazy when you see these kids who are sleeping on cots.
Yeah, we did.
And just separated from their families.
That's not true.
Like,
that's a definite lie. Like, black people were on the
forefront.
Okay,
you know what? I'm not gonna do the same thing you were doing. I'm not
Thank
gonna
you.
Do that.
I can show
you're
you right. video of what I'm talking
but
about
I,
though.
But I am gonna say,
now.
We're not gonna get better if we don't start helping each other all the time. And don't, I'm not going to wait for you to help me until, like, you know, I'm not going to wait for me to help you until you help me.
I agree.
Not okay. Like, we need to collaborate, unite, help the community now. And it can start from us. It can even start with the good news, collaborating with our shows. And we actually did that. Never Not Extra and Ladies Night. And they're all black
girls. Great episode.
We're all Latina girls. And we got together and created a show where we talked about these issues. And that's where you can start it. You don't have to wait for celebrities to save or to speak out for you. You need to start going to these protests that you're so, you know.
I've been to plenty of protests. I've covered them as a journalist,
okay.
too.
Well, then let's do it as a Good News family and go out there to all the protests together. And we need to show them that black and browns do get along and stop falling for what the media is telling you, because that's what keeps separating us and dividing us. And we need to stop that. So I'm going to go ahead and stop because I can keep going. This is your show. I just had to come and rant real quick on your tangents. But
I
love you guys. I love your show. And, you know, I got nothing but love for both of you guys. And, you know, I'm really excited to be a part of this.
No worries. We're about to call your show and talk about football. Have a good night.
I'm talking about why Jackie's going to end up married to a Raiders fan one day. I'm calling it. You're going to end up marrying a Raiders fan one day. Who doesn't like Selena? Who knows? I don't know. But nah, I get what she was saying. Like, but I'm also not going to pretend like there's mad Latinos who don't still use the N-word all day. Like, with the hard R towards black people. We're not going to pretend like that racism don't exist there. We're not going to pretend like there's not a rift. I'm not saying that none of us get along, but I'm not going to pretend like we all get along.
We don't.
Okay, then. So what's wrong with admitting that? That's like you being around.
That's not what you're doing, though. Here we go.
Damn, she just called back.
Nah, someone else.
I'm about to say, Jesus. I'm still mad at you.
Touchdowns and Tangents, give us your name and location. Hello?
Yeah, Aaron?
What's good, Aaron?
Hey, what's good?
What's good? You got something to say?
Aaron, I'm in the East Coast, and I just wanted to say, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go.
I
was going to
say go, Pats.
Yeah, how'd you like that Rondo victory?
I didn't see it.
I know you talk trash about LeBron, but how'd you like that Rondo winning the game?
I mean, he was in Boston, so I wouldn't put it past him, and he was on my FanDuel team, so shout out to that. But, yeah, you can follow my Lakers coverage at sportsoutwest.com. This is a football show. Thank you for calling.
What kind of plug is this? What the was that a drop? That was some nasty shit, dog. Like, next time I'm gonna have my mom call up here and be like, "Yo, I make really good."
He really
desserts.
Just banged on me right now. Like,
he really
hey,
just
you talk shit about LeBron.
He put a Suge Knight on you with the Source Awards.
Yeah, okay, I guess you gonna throw a chair at me.
He pulled a vanilla. You're Vanilla Ice, and he hung you out of a window.
Yeah, man. This is what I get for being a troll all week. I was trolling Dodger fans.
You trolled
I was trolling
Selena
Rams
fans.
Yeah, I'm a troll.
Like, bro, I think Jackie was madder at you than me.
She really was, but shout out to Wu for backing me up, man.
Nah, I think Wu gonna get smoke from whoever he know once they hear this. Like, wait, you think? I mean, it's a lot of conversations we need to have about culture vultures within our culture. And I'm glad we're having this conversation today, because honestly, we pretend like everything's okay and it's not. Same way with sports. We pretend like everything is fine, and it really isn't. Y'all probably got family members you know you don't speak to. I know I got family members I don't speak to. One of them, her birthday is a day after mine, and I could care less about her and her punk-ass, stink-ass mom. But anyway.
You got anything else you want to say on the tangent before I get back to football?
Yeah, about this whole tangent thing. People tried to, I'm going to go back to the Demi Lovato thing. Somebody said, made a meme with her, like,
nobody cares about
you're
Demi
acting
Lovato.
A way somebody pretty much made a heroin joke, and I was like, damn, that's kind of fucked. That's fucked up. But at the same time, like, she deleted her Twitter and got off, and people were like, oh, she's being bullied. And I'm like, yo, this is why I hate people in society, because it's cool if, like, and 21 Savage had number nice things to say about Demi Lovato. So, like, for you to even make that joke when this dude is away from his three children. Yes, he has three children, Jackie. And by the way, it's not an issue of the fact that he's a rapper from the UK. is the fact that ICE could have popped him a couple years ago and they waited till now. Nobody likes ICE. I'm gonna say this again. No one likes ICE. I don't even have ICE in my soda, in my water sometimes. I will drink that shit flat. I hate ICE in general.
Oh.
But no, in all seriousness, I really don't like. I know, I really don't like immigration for how they do stuff, because a lot of time they were pulling up at T-Sun. There was an issue with like sanctuary cities and things like that, where they were like lying. Like I saw that video of that dude who got yanked out by ICE, and his little daughter, he had just picked her up from school, and he was getting deported and thrown. Like that shit is foul to me. That's disgusting. But I'm just saying, when it comes to black people going through the same issues, everyone's quiet. Nationally, we're quiet. No one's trying to bail. Like, but what I did like is that, let me finish. People in like the hip-hop community, they are putting up a collection plate. They're like, yo, we got money for you just in case you need it. I can overlook the fact that he lied about, he led us to believe that he was just trapper with his hardcore ATL dude, when in fact he's from the UK. But as a black person, I'm not going to slander him and act like he's, you know, the fuck Jerry guy, because nobody likes that guy. Hello, caller. What's your name and where you calling from? Let's hear your beautiful voice.
This is Bob. I'm from the Valley.
I'm pretty sure this is Aaron.
This feels like a Rick roll.
Are you bipolar now? Like,
is this split? Is this split?
You say Hispanics? You say Hispanics are the face of immigration? No, this was our country. We're not immigrants. We're just trying to get our land back.
Black people actually built this country, and we're here before everybody, if we're being historically accurate.
I mean...
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you're going to ignore all the Native American empires?
There's a lot of Native Americans who were blacker than the chair you're sitting in.
So wait,
I'm saying we were both here. We were both here. But I'm saying there's a concerted effort, like politically. There's a reason why white people are at the face of immigration, because they actually want them here. That's what I'm... Okay, first off, Latinos get scapegoated as, like, the immigration problem, but nobody says shit about Canadian immigrants, who are mostly white, who come here.
Because that's not the border where we're sealing off.
Yeah, and how many of them are committing crimes?
So nice.
They're
cool.
And
that's a lot of Canadians out here committing mad crimes, and nobody says
money.
Shit. And they're white. That's why they're not the face of crime and immigration.
That's the biggest thing, is they have money.
Yeah, and I'm saying other groups.
Nobody's talking about the Indian immigrants that have $10 million and can create 10 jobs.
And they go right back to their country and use the education they get here. And all the bottom line is, blacks, Latinos, or indigenous people, however you want to break it all the way down, we were both here on this continent.
I understand that. But this was our land before anyone.
Nah, it actually wasn't. Black people literally are the oldest people on the face of the earth. Like, scientifically, it's been proven. Black people have been everywhere.
Life started in southern eastern Turkey. That is scientifically proven. The cradle of civilization is Sumeria. I hate to break it to you, buddy.
For sure it's Africa.
It's Middle Eastern.
Yeah, the modern Middle Easterns are nomads. Like, that means traveler. Like, they weren't actually originally from that place. The original, like, the oldest person, they already said it. It was, like, an African woman, and they called her Lucy. Like, Latinos aren't the oldest people on the face of the earth. It's black.
Well, we're talking about here.
Do you think all black people got dropped off of slave ships or where a lot of them are already here?
I'm not gonna fall into your fallacy, but the civilizations sit here were set up by
they weren't all
Hispanics
Latino.
And Latinos.
First off, Hispanic is European.
I
so
agree.
Explain that to me.
Both.
Yeah, because
Europeans came
we
from
should
Spain.
Definitely both, you know, be getting our rights, but
that's
let's,
what I'm saying.
Let's just start off with, you know, this was our country. It was taken away.
It wasn't.
And we just want it back. But I don't know. But I agree. It should be about us and not separate. Not
black,
you versus us.
I'm
it should
not,
be all
I,
of us.
If it was you versus us, me and Pete wouldn't even be here. I got mad Latino homies. He got mad black homies. We are the problem. But I am looking at and understanding, like, there's people on the other side of this equation who have a vested interest in not supporting us.
So why are you combating all the people that are here on the team?
I'm not talking. Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about the history. Yeah. No,
you're
the history,
you've combated me. Okay. You combated three people now.
I didn't combat anybody. I just said
okay.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is I didn't hear any major Latino politicians coming out speaking out when Missouri was going down. When black people were being killed left and right down there. I didn't hear that. And you can't say it was anywhere on TV. You can't find it because it wasn't happening. Black people get killed. Katrina. Black people were getting killed all the time, sniped down there. And then when they came back, they couldn't even get their houses back. They pretty much said, okay, all the rich white people in Louisiana can keep their land. No, but I'm saying there was things done. The same way there are things done to Latino people to where, like, okay, you've been here 30 years. We're just going to deport you one day. And then pretend like you're not a citizen, even though technically you are. Like, there's things done to black and Latinos, but we can't ignore, like, okay, we also have a confrontational past as well. It always hasn't been roses and sunshine. And there's nothing wrong pointing that out, because if we sit up here and ignore that, then it's just a quiet tension in the room. And then we go our separate ways. I don't see anything wrong with acknowledging that on both sides. Like, look, this is what the situation was.
What they want. They want us separated. You're going to keep us separated by categorizing us in smaller groups, but instead of uniting us as one. They're scared of us if we're all together. They're not scared of us if we're in five different groups. It shouldn't be about us.
And I don't see Latinos and black kids shooting up schools. It's only white kids. It's like, that's a white kid thing. It's only white kids. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's crime.
I completely agree. The Rams should have ran the ball more. Should have gave it to Gurley.
Yeah, definitely. But Sean McVay shit his pants in the Super Bowl. So
all right, man. Anything else you want to troll us on?
I guarantee you the Lakers make the playoffs and make a statement.
All right, cool, man. The basketball show's at 6:30 p.m. Make sure you call in. It's on Thursday night before us.
Damn.
But yeah, man, pretty much.
This is hilarious. How is it almost 10 o'clock already?
Man, you
Holy
know what?
Shit.
On that note,
we got through everything.
We got through everything like 30 minutes ago. We were fishing for content. Thank you, all you guys out there in the chat, for buying into our bullshit. Because even before we came on air, we're like,
I was like, we should address some things. Like,
let's pack it in.
Holy shit, it's 9:53.
We're the Clippers. But on that note,
that's,
man,
disgusting. Like, the Sixers are a problem. Like, East is actually good again.
I'm glad the Lakers won tonight. They got another 15 playoff games in the rest of their schedule. So they need to win at least like half of those to get a good shot at the playoffs. I hope Barry's right. They do make the playoffs so that I can cover the playoffs. But realistically, they got an uphill battle. So we'll see what happens.
God damn it,
they
got to
get healthy too.
I got to read. Okay. So let's just read some of the comments. Pete, explain your Selena comment. I love J-Lo, but she shouldn't be a part of that. That's gross. Why is J-Lo doing Motown? That's nasty. And Ryan, wait, what? I'm going to need to hear this about Selena. This is news. And she put that in all caps. I love the game and his dick print pics. Jackie said that.
You know, hate when you do this, right? When you go back and, like, review the chat from, like, shit I already said, like, 10 minutes ago.
Some of this you didn't say, though. And then Keith just put LOL. Because
you want to give everyone a participation award for dropping
the comment.
No, I
just feel like if
chat.
People took the time to listen and are listening right now and are commenting in the chat room, we should acknowledge them
before
the show's
over.
And
then what about all the podcast people that listen to it and listen to you talking about the chat that they can't participate in?
But they ain't calling in, so.
Like, okay.
Tough titty. Sorry, it's not your
city.
Yeah,
man. All right. So you want to get to the rants?
Pretty much.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and Ryan, we can support each other and still call out colorism. Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, did you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first, since you've been talking about the show.
How you gonna mute? What the fuck? How you gonna mute me? How you gonna tell me to go in there and mute me, dog?
All
It's Black History Month. Can you not disrespect me like this?
It was the wrong button, and honestly, I'm going to need you to not race bait me with that. I really just hit the wrong button.
Well, obviously, I was joking, but, like, way too much crazy shit. Like, James Brown was apparently murdered, and a bunch of his family members and everyone connected to him was murdered. Honestly, that goes to something I was going to say. If you have anything of value, and you're a non-white person in this country, usually either the government or whoever, whatever industry you're in, whatever who's controlling it, is probably going to try to kill you or take it from you some way. The same way they totally just said eminent domain and kicked everybody out of Chavez Ravine. The same way they're jacking people's rent up in Inglewood, like $2,000 or some crazy shit like that, just so the Rams can get their own stadium up close and personal next to the Forum so you can see them choke live. Yeah, I said that. I'm a Rams fan. Honestly, at this point, like, the Patriots winning just kind of made me, like, just not want to be a fan of anything in football. Like, it just made me just kind of hate football. Like, winning is great, but it's like, God damn, do they have to keep winning? Do they have to keep winning?
Make your point about Super Bowl parties.
Oh, yeah. Super Bowl parties. Shout out to Pete for yelling that at me. Maybe it's just because, like, my birthday is on the 19th, which is, like, I think 12 days from now. And I'm going to be 27. Maybe it's just because, like, I've been to a lot of crazy-ass Super Bowl parties that were really dope. Pete was there at one of them. We won't talk about it. There's still a bunch of legendary shit that happened. Shout out to the homie Andrew. But maybe it's, like, are Super Bowl parties just really washed now? Like, not just because this was, like, a boring Super Bowl, apparently, for everybody. But is it legitimately just, like, Super Bowl parties or whatever? It's like, are we just treating it like the holidays? It's not, it's like, I feel like the Super Bowl parties are like barely or almost at par with Friendsgiving. It's like, yeah, we're here, we're doing this, but at least it's not Thanksgiving. We have to be around our family, pretend we actually love and care about them. At least we're just like here, just getting drunk.
There's fun.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Friendsgiving and Super Bowl parties, I feel like, are on the level now. Like, and I don't know when that happened, but I feel like with Super Bowl parties, I don't know. Maybe it's like an age thing after 25, whatever. It just stops being fun. Maybe it's because the Rams lost and I'm just in a state of melancholy. I don't know, but whatever. But I'm going to end the show on some positivity. Shout out to everyone who signed on. National Signing Day happened. Shout out to Lawndale High School and all the great players there. Naki Fahina's going to UNLV on a scholarship. Kudos to that dude. Going to play in a 3-4 defense under Coach Sanchez. Had 20 sacks this year, 34 tackles for loss. Amazing captain. Could play fullback, tight end, punter, defensive end, defensive tackle, nose tackle, and outside linebacker. Great young man. Room for him to do great things. And the greatest player, actually, God damn it. I don't know who that is, but no, call it. What the fuck you do that for, bro? Call. Oh wait, is it the same person? Never mind.
No, it was a different person.
I didn't see, bro. I'm blind. I didn't see. I'm sorry, dog. I didn't see it. But anyway, yeah. To close it up, Jordan Wilmore, greatest offensive player and probably greatest player in the history of the South Bay football, signed on to Utah. Kudos to him. Wish him nothing but the best. Honestly, it was probably the best fit for him scheme-wise. Zach Moss is a senior. He can come in, contribute as a freshman, get better. Root for that kid. USC kind of did him and a lot of other cats dirty when they fired T. Martin and then just weren't – they finally got Graham Harrell, Kyle Ford signed on at USC. But, man, just don't go to USC just because they offer you. Put it like that. Go to a school that really is a fit for you. That's a smart young man, Jordan Wilmore, Naki Fahina. Hope a couple of the cats on the teams are probably going to college somewhere. Rooting for all of them. A lot of those cats on that football team who are seniors should still be playing football somewhere. I don't care if it's D2, D3. They're that good. Kudos to Coach Clark. Hopefully we'll have him on in the future. We won't be talking about all the controversial shit we talked about tonight, though. It was a lot. It was kind of a heavy episode. But, yeah.
Yeah, man, honestly, this was the worst episode we ever did, but it's okay. It's all good. You know, fuck it. It's Super Bowl. Everyone's tired of football. Everyone's tired of talking about the same damn game that happened over and over again. Everyone's tired of the media circus that is ESPN. And honestly, one thing we didn't talk about, which I did want to talk about, and maybe we'll do this next week when we have more time, but the whole NFL players, Hoosier Hoops team, shout out to Derek Carr for essentially triggering me this morning. I woke up to a tweet of him essentially making his pickup team all guys who no longer play for the Oakland Raiders. All of them. He had Khalil Mack at center. He had Amari Cooper at shooting guard. He had James Jones off the bench. And I'm like, dog, are you really trying to fuck with my mental health today? Davante Adams, who should have been a Raider but never was. Like is that was good? And the worst part was they replied. Yeah, man, Khalil Mack is down to play center for you, and Donald Penn was hot that you picked Mack over him, but it's all good. I just enjoy when players actually, like, don't take themselves too seriously and actually do some, like, engaging-ass shit. And it pretty much spread throughout the whole league. You had the Seahawks tweeting out their lineup. So it was a pretty good day for football Twitter. Outside of that, man, I know we talked about a lot of controversial stuff in this episode, and I know I also dropped a lot of F-bombs, but that's kind of what you can expect in this podcast / broadcast. And ultimately, what I do want to say is, again, man, you know I gotta talk that talk about these media folk out here. Listen, man, I know part of being about the media means, like, you know, asking about relevant topical shit. And I know right now for seasonality, that means the NBA trade deadline. That means trade rumors. That means all that sort of stuff. Which is fine. You can Google my name. I've written plenty of trade rumor, clickbait, speculation, shit that's never going to happen. I've written it. It's done. It's out there. It's on my byline. I don't care. But the thing is, man, if you're going to ask about that stuff, you need to bring something to the table. Like, if you need to bring something to the table, number one, and number two, you need to show your work. You need to show the fact that, one, you're prefacing your questions. Two, you need to not only just show the on-the-record answer, but you also need to show the person's response afterwards. And, like, you need to be fully transparent with your work. Because otherwise, you're just baiting for a reaction, and it's mad corny. Because if that's all you can bring to the table, then what are you doing? What are you doing? As KB always says, what is your impact? And
impact, motherfucker!
And the last thing I want to say, man, is I think Malik was talking about this, about getting a journalism degree and having this dream of being a journalist. And I kind of went on a rant about how, you know, you could go there with this dream, and what you'll find, and what I found out was that wasn't the dream. That dream, A, wasn't for me, and B, I didn't want that dream. Because I found another gap that I need to fill, and that's the gap between journalism and business. The fact that people who operate and do the work in journalism don't understand the business, and the people that do the business don't value the people that do the work. That's a huge issue, and that's something that I'm trying to figure out and hash my way through, and that's why I do what I do. But regardless of what you do after you get a journalism degree or a comms degree or whatever the case may be, point is, if you land in a corporation, I think the biggest and most disrespectful anybody can do to someone that has a journalism degree hanging on their wall is hide information from them and expect them not to find out and connect the dots and use their resources, because that's literally what that degree signifies. And that's all I'm going to say, because, yes, this is a sub-diss. And that's all I'm going to say because, yeah, I got industry ties. So, fuck media.
Real mob ties, all-time highs.
But, yeah, man, this is Touchdowns and Tangents. You know what's up.
Culture.
If you liked this episode, I don't know if you're going to like the rest of the show because low-key this was trash, but it was fun. We had fun. We glad people participated. No one got upset. Everyone had a little bit of fun. So it's all good. We ended on positivity.
And honestly, if somebody did get mad, you know what? Then have this conversation in your own home. Address colorism and what you're doing and contributing to the so-called coalition between non-white people. Like, let's actually have this conversation in our own homes, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of generational curses, I know, in the black community, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot in the Latino community, and we're all just trying to figure our shit out. So the only way we can do this...
Trauma's inherited.
It really is. That's not funny. Like, trauma's really inherited. You inherited that traumatic-ass hairline. But anyway...
I'm not saying it's not, but it's just corny to always point it out.
No, because we're always talking about mental health. You talked about mental health a couple minutes ago. Like, we really need to talk things out. Because if we're going to be honest, our parents and grandparents weren't talking about shit. They were just living, and they kept it moving. And whatever they didn't talk about, that shit got passed down to us. So whatever insecurities, knockups, whatever we have, we either keep it deep down inside or we live it out. And we're trying to figure shit out as we go. And our grandparents probably weren't talking about the horrible, traumatic shit that they've been through. And now it's trickled down to us. So we might as well have these conversations, even if they're uncomfortable. And Pete can snore all he wants to. I'd rather sleep than have to look at that shitty-ass hairline he has anyway.
My whole point is, like, yeah, I get it. Trauma's inherited. Yeah, I get it. Our parents didn't talk about things, and now we're dealing with it. Like, yeah, I understand all that. Cool, but we constantly talk about that instead of talking about the real issues. It's like,
no, those are some
issues. It's corny to me.
Those are some of the issues that we need to talk about.
Yeah, but maybe what I'm saying is we're talking about the issues instead of actually talking about the issues. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you and me both, though, we talk about our issues. Yeah.
Kind of.
I talk. Well, I'm not going to talk about all over the air. I'm not going to talk about all over the air, but nah, at home, I talk about my issues.
This was a real-ass Tesh Hansen therapy session.
That's what this whole episode was. And honestly, if you're offended by something that I said, then go look it up. Black people are literally the original people of this earth. I'm not arguing.
And shout out to Jackie. Fact. She says she wants to create a panel of black and Latinos.
Let's address all the shit that has happened. Because if we don't talk about it, we just keep pretending like shit's okay and it's not okay. And when we could have allies, we don't, because we didn't reach across the aisle when we had the chance. That's all I'm saying.
All right, man.
We live in a divided-ass America.
Okay, we heard you the first 10 times.
And the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and honestly, I don't know about y'all, but it ruined my whole fucking year during Black History Month.
I don't even care. I'm just numb to it.
I'm numb to the Patriots winning. Like, I'm just like, they're white America's team.
I can't even hate them anymore.
I would rather the Cowboys win a goddamn Super Bowl. Nothing. Do you understand what I just said? I'd rather the Cowboys win a Super Bowl.
I think my body's just going through shock, and I just refuse to acknowledge it.
Septic shock. Like, you might as well be smoking DMT. That's what it feels to watch a six Patriots Super Bowl. Honestly, and I wish Joe Rogan could interview me after it
DMT
happened.
Before?
No, but I know a guy who didn't had a long conversation with him, and it really
it's not the same thing.
No, like he told me some shit, and I was like, "Wow, not the same no." Thing. He told me some shit, and I'm the type of person. Thing. You tell me some shit you've been through, I believe you. I don't need to go try it on my own. But bottom line is, we hope that this episode was really informative, and maybe it needed to spark something inside you so you can have that conversation with people you know and have more conversations across the aisle. Because honestly, when the game goes off, this shit is still sports, too. Everything is a sport. Let's just be honest. Everything is a sport. You're competing at everything.
Yeah, man. So
you either care about winning or you just, you know, figure it out. I'm done because Pete really is mad right now.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get out of here. Like,
let's close this out, man.
Oh, okay. Now we can close it
Wrap
out.
Wrap it up.
Now we can close it
Wrap
out.
Wrap it up, Pete.
I'll be Mike.
First off.
All right. If you like this show.
You like your show. That's why you're listening. Fuck out of here.
What you can do is share it with your friend. Give us a like. Give us a rating. All y'all listening in the podcast store, you can go in there and give us a 5-star rating. Leave a comment. All of you on the Good News Radio app. If you're not on the Good News Radio app, get on that. And also shout out to X Squad affiliates, X Squad Radio.
Full press coverage.
And full press coverage for also replaying us. So outside of that, man. Touchdowns and Tangents, we're out.
Our loved ones and everyone in the chat room, we appreciate y'all. Why'd you get sued for the Big Bang Theory?
Ryan said you're the vicarious DMT smoker.
Wow. I'll take that.
Yeah, man. Drugs are one of those things where you can't, like, take someone's word for it.
No, I'm taking that dude's word for it. He was pretty far. I'm going to take his word for it. I'm not going to try DMT. It's the feeling you get right before you die. I don't want to feel that all day. No, thank you. I'll pass. I'll live in PEX and not have DMT in my system.